Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the Creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to episode number 457 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, bringing you the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, and we're back on DankoRadio.ca in Canada as of this week. Brand new return. It's been a few years. With me tonight are Tyler and Derek from the band Human Delusion. What's up, gentlemen?
Hello.
How's it going?
I almost forgot about Danko Radio. I also need to email them back and tell them where to get the show at so that they can play it, but it'll be on there. So I'm not even going to start off with that question that about the band name that you probably get anytime you talk to any interviewer. We're going to skip that.
All right.
Sort of. So I was looking at your online presence, trying to come up with these questions for you guys, and I noticed a handful of name changes.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you settle on Human Delusion compared to the other ones? And you can mention the other ones if you want.
Well, I think we started with like the very first name. It was like Reign of the Fallen. Was that it?
I wasn't even in there at this
point. Oh, man.
Point.
Yeah. We quickly like moved on that to a name, Primal Scream Therapy, which at the time it was more of like a little joke between all of us in the band. So as we kind of got older, we eventually picked a name that more resonated with our, I guess, more mature attitude, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely that. And also, initially we were a five piece. I'm the vocalist, and when I was initially just the one of our guitarists at that point. So once our vocalist parted ways with us, I took over and we jumped down to a four piece, and it was just kind of time. So a lot of factors really played into it, but, you know, we're really happy with where we are now.
Mm-hmm. And the name change just suits us as it does today.
So you made the decision to change the name because, like, when most people think of bands, they think of the vocalists first. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That played a considerable part in it. Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, this next question, I hope that you guys, because I didn't realize that, you know, that one of you had not been in the band from the beginning. So if you guys can't answer this one, we'll scrap it and I'll come up with another one.
All right.
So it's when you were sitting at the high school lunch room table, what were your goals for the band?
Honestly, it was just to get recognition, like among friends, like it was just like something to do. Like all of our friends were in bands, and it was just kind of like the cool thing to do at the time. Where, you know, I was in ninth grade. I was 14 years old, and we're just trying to be cool, you know? And it got more serious the longer it went on.
Hey, so recognition, what would you say your goals are now?
Ooh, so I think it's a lot different now, just because, you know, when you're young and, you know, a high schooler, and I joined, I'm a few years older than Derek. I joined my tail end of high school. Our goals have shifted now in such a way that we're writing a lot more for us and to have fun creating our music. We've kind of had a shift recently where we stopped saying no to an idea and we just kind of chase it. And some of the new material we've been working on has been really wacky and different.
Yeah.
Even from, you know, the first album we put out earlier this year. So it's definitely shifted more from, you know, I want to be this super
like a certain type of band.
Yeah.
Or all that. We kind of tried making the most unique sound we could, I guess.
And now it's more so about challenging ourselves more than anything, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So along those lines, how would you describe your band's sound to someone who's an uninformed listener, someone who's never heard you?
Well, I mean, our current sound, I like calling it tip of the tongue metal because I can't exactly explain what it could sound like. Like, I could get close, but I could never quite explain it.
I think,
but for, album one.
Yeah, album one, I think it's fair to say that we pull a lot of, influence from, I'd say, you know, vocals. I would say they're, you know, a death style. And, you know, when it comes to riffing, you know, we put a lot of care and effort into our riff, and we put a lot of drive into our music such that, you know, there's never a dull moment. You know, every beat and note has importance, and, you know, we keep things driving. If, you know, we have one breakdown on our album,
yeah,
you know, and it's like everything else is pretty, like, is it's
pretty
fast paced,
pretty fast paced.
It's energetic because we try to keep, like, our live performance the same.
Thrashy, way. I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure. There's lots of thrash influence in there as well.
Yeah.
So
we're just a bunch of angry teenagers when we made it.
So that actually aligns really well with a question I had set up for the second segment, but I'm going to ask it now.
Okay.
So if I went on a road trip with you guys, like if I piled in the Human Delusion, you guys have a van?
I would wish. That'd be so convenient.
All right, so if I went to one of your shows with you, what bands would I hear on the way there?
That is a fantastic question.
You know, I wish that our other guitarist was here because he just made a playlist for our next road trip.
Yeah, we're trying to create like a master playlist of, you know, all these, you know,
songs that we all like,
songs and genres. That is a fantastic question. I think, you know, speaking for myself, you know, when the aux gets passed to me, I play a lot of the Contortionist, Gojira, and, you know, some other, not quite on genre picks as well. I would definitely say I am a huge Boston fan. One of my favorite, rappers is Tech N9ne. So, you know, my tastes are pretty diverse, and you are.
Yeah, and like, we're not the type of people to, like, we hear a song and say, oh, this is shit, and just turn it off. Like, we'll give it a good listen and have our thoughts afterwards. We don't want to be too quick to judge with them. So we're pretty much all good with whatever anyone puts on, I'd like to say.
Yeah, for our release show, we, the last song we played before we went on was, you put on Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, it was like the movie soundtrack. So it's like the background music where it's like horns and trumpets.
The horns, it's very
stuff.
Whimsical.
Yeah.
And we come on and
sounds like something out of like Lord of the Rings almost. But when I get tossed the aux in the car, I think you'll hear like either Opeth, Death, Havoc,
Havoc.
Something very fast and aggressive, or like reggae and ska and weird electronic music. I mean, it's really whatever I'm feeling. You're gonna mix.
I'm gonna ask you one more question in this segment, and then we'll give the listeners a chance to hear Depravity. I probably messed that up. And it's not, it's like, it's a normal word. I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's a depravity.
Depravity. Now you got it.
I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to let you guys do it. All right. So here we're going to do one of those questions I told you to be worried about.
Okay. All right. Embrace.
All right. So if you could travel back in time and observe any one band for a full year, who would you observe and why?
Honestly?
Oh.
This is a really good question.
Oh, that's challenging.
Personally, I would really like to see how Avatar made their way behind the scenes. If you've ever heard of that band from Sweden.
I have. I'm not familiar with them, but I have heard of them.
I think their story would be rather interesting to hear. Either that or like Lemmy's.
Ooh, yeah.
I think Lemmy is like a good story to hear like once a year. Tell your children about.
Yeah, I feel like if there was like a 1 year window I could look at, I would love to just kind of observe how I think I'm going to say how Tool wrote and produced Lateralis.
Oh my god, that's a really good one.
Because
that'd be interesting.
That album just blows my mind every time I hear it. So I think that would be mine. That'd be my pick.
Cool. So what I want you to do now, and I'm thinking you guys are younger than me. So this might go over your head. How long ago were you sitting at that lunch table?
Well, I just graduated high school. I'm in my first year of college. So it was 5 years ago.
It'd be like four and a half
years ago.
I joined up. Well, I was a senior at the time, so I turned 22 in a couple of weeks. But I wasn't there, so
you're old.
That's a question for you. Yeah, I'm an old man in this band.
Yeah. So what was the?
I'm 20 years older than you. You're not allowed to be man. Old. All right. So the question is this. When I was your age, VH1 and MTV actually had music related shows.
Oh, I heard videos. Stories about that era.
Right, right. So,
legendary stories.
Back then, VH1 used to do a show called Storytellers, where the bands would come on and they would play their song and they would tell you about the song.
Oh my god, bands do that.
So, what I want you to do is tell me about the song that we're about to hear.
Sure. Depravity, this one's on you.
Okay, so Depravity, this is the title track of our first album. And this song, it's short, it's sweet. I think it's pretty exemplary of the sound a listener could expect to hear from our first record. The lyrics are pretty driven in terms of, kind of our opinions on things. This song is pretty critical of modern media and, how it kind of grips you, makes you afraid, and how the media perpetuates a system of violence in the world, whether it be, terroristic attacks, shootings. This song is a very critical look at that and how we believe the media
shows like a wicked pattern.
Yeah, how the media perpetuates this issue and makes these events happen again.
Maybe even unintentionally. That's the biggest part.
I don't think their intention is to make it happen again, but no. they're definitely going after ratings.
And, yeah, there's money to be made and good motivation.
Stories to sell.
Yeah, so for instance, the first verse is about the mentality of, these attackers. And the last line is, could you watch the flames as the one who set the fire? And that lyric is kind of about how I think that a lot of these people, when they commit these acts, they don't live with the consequences. Could you live with what you've done, if you had to live with it? And, the second verse, has some key lyrics in it as well, in regards to the media, and, how the last two lines are present him as a martyr to the wicked and low, the next mass murderer is watching your show. So a lot of these, this song is very driven, and depravity is to be depraved or stripped of all sense of morality and what is right and wrong. So that's basically my and our critique of the system, and that's what the song's about.
Okay, so we are going to hear Human Delusion, and we're going to follow that with Conflict Cycle and their track Cloak and Dagger. And we'll be right back with Tyler and Derek from Human Delusion.
King of pain, deathly remote, kicking and wound, tasting a sample of my wretched work. Sharpen my knife, quenching his thirst. Victims will die by the edge of my dirk. Cries spilling their blood, the river has come. My job is done. Violence and gore are the face of these wars, leaving London stricken with awe. Ready and willing, I continue killing and laughing the face of the law.
Hey, it's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 457. If you are just tuning in, you should go to PARockShow.com and hear the first half later. With me tonight are Tyler and Derek from Human Delusion. We have talked about the name of the band and how it came about. We talked about them in high school, which wasn't that long ago. We talked a little bit about their music, and you just heard one of their tracks, and I'm going to let them say it because I'm having trouble saying it tonight. The title of your track is
Depravity.
All right, and all together, Depravity. There we go.
So what makes that even funnier is I teach science and social studies, so all day I'm saying words that are hard to say.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a layer of hell.
Here comes another question that might be difficult, or maybe it won't be, but a lot of bands do struggle with this one.
All right.
So which Human Delusion song should survive the apocalypse and help in the repopulation of the Earth?
Repopulation.
Yeah. Think that through for a second.
Yeah, that's a, like a message for the survivors.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Let's see. I think
I want to say like a song that isn't on album one that we've written. It's not done yet, but
you can do that. Say, then people will have a reason to check you out later.
Okay. Yeah.
I would also say I feel like when it comes to the message that should survive,
yeah,
I'd almost say let's see. Well, Midnight is about nuclear destruction,
and they'd be very well aware of that.
That was a better like, no shit going out. But if I had to, I mean, I think that would be the one that would be the message that would survive. But you know,
if there's a
song that will help with you know, the rhythm of helping with the repopulation, I think Giants would be a good pick because Giants is a very, very fast and energetic track. It gets people moving.
Pretty upbeat.
Whether that be, you know, vertically jumping at a show or horizontally moving. You know, that's up to them.
Or both.
Or both.
There's some who can do that.
We don't judge.
I have to remember not to ask the question that way. So what if we did, and again, before your time, but what if we took one of your songs and played it backwards? What would we hear?
It'd sound like hell. First and foremost.
Yeah, because that's there were I remember hearing, like, if you play a Stairway backwards, there's like some hidden messages,
or even like some Motley Crue songs, maybe, you know? King Diamond ones.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We haven't tried it, but maybe we should look and see if we have.
We talked about this one time that we wanted to do this eventually, but I mean, it's. There's we nothing, had to figure out how to do that first.
Yeah, there's nothing hidden backwards, but there are some little gems. You know, just some silly things that happen in the recording booth that kind of just stayed in the track at a very low
volume. That is true, yeah.
See, you can't just tell that, not tell what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, whenever I mess up, I have a tendency to... get really high in my growls and say lots of profanity. So,
but it sounds interesting
because I sound like Elmo if he stubbed his toe. I think so. I mean, there's lots of that in there.
It does sound pretty interesting.
Low volume.
Can we keep that?
I think a good example of this would be in our song "Call of the Wendigo" at the beginning. We kind of we have just a bunch of noises to kind of simulate, you know, the creepy, eerie calls you would hear in the forest at night, and Derek here has a tendency to make very high pitched, good little E's. Oh, yes. Oh. So, you know, there's stuff like that, pretty bare and in the open.
Yeah, whatever we could put into the album, we put into the album.
Along those lines, when I do the tagging of the show notes, I try to put in the bands that are mentioned. Mm-hmm. I just put Elmo in the tags.
Yeah.
That's
our prime audience, actually.
Yeah.
That's a first.
I'm honored.
So why don't you, and I'm going to put you both on the spot at the same time.
All right.
What I want is for each of you to tell me about an embarrassing moment or awkward moment that the other
one, oh my God.
The other person had on stage.
The other person had on stage.
Oh, right. Boy. Okay, well, you already have a couple of digs at me already on this.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Hey, here, why don't you go first?
Okay.
Roast me.
Oh, gosh. I need to, sit down and think.
Okay.
There was a times that, you know, my bass pedals.
No, we roast each other. Okay. You tell my story when I embarrass myself.
Okay. Oh, man.
I can tell a story.
I think there was one time that... I think there was one time that we covered Domination by Pantera.
Mm.
And that was officially your first time ever doing vocals.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, we were very young. We didn't really know what we were doing. The song wasn't very tight. And.
Wow, I thought I did a good job.
You did? Okay. it sounded rough. Well, I think.
That's okay. All right, my turn. All right.
Let's play on full blast.
Dick. All right, let's see. Oh, I remember. So when we first debuted our song, Midnight, my little drummer boy here, he kind of lost his place in the song. And we were opening for Battlecross?
Battlecross and Allegiant. Allegiant, yeah.
That's how you say it, yes. Battlecross and Legion. So it was a pretty packed show. And little drummer boy here.
It was our first time playing the song.
So it was. It was our first time playing the song live, and he forgot the little jam section we have and went straight into the verse, and we did manage to keep the song on track.
Yeah, we didn't have to pause the song. We got back on. Thank God.
We had our vocalist at the time, so he was up at front kind of commanding the show. Our bassist at the time stayed up there. Kyle, our other guitarist, ran back to the drums and helped you work it out.
Oh my god.
Got back on.
So we're yelling at each other while we're playing just nonsense.
So it's funny.
In front of a crowd of 50, 60, 70 people.
That was probably over 100.
Maybe 100. Yeah. It was, you're right.
So that was fun. I think we did get it back, but I think what ended up happening was you know, it was no secret because we were all screaming at each other and the overhead mics definitely picked that up. So,
oh, yeah.
So, you know, our vocalists just, you know, going at it with the lyrics, and then you just hear, no, you, it's the, yeah, so.
Yeah. Thank God that was many years ago. I think at least three.
No. Was, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. That was before we renamed ourselves, so. That's not us.
Yeah,
that's, if anyone asks,
that wasn't us. Those were different people,
different band.
What is something, and you can talk about yourselves this time. What is something about each of you that your fans will be surprised to find out about you?
Ooh. That's a good one. I think a lot of people would be surprised with, I think overall just my, all the influences I kind of pull from, because I take a lot of pride in my lyrics, and that doesn't just stem from metal. Now, a lot of it comes from that, but I think I pull so much influence and, especially in my delivery as well, I pull a lot from a lot of other genres. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I love Boston, and you know, Boston has shaped a lot of how I write, like melodies for guitar leads. And they've also like just kind of how I like feel out pacing for a song. So I think, you know, we play pretty fast and we play pretty hard, but I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that that is not the genre like I would put on when I like, you know, turn on a speaker.
We look kind of creepy and have very angry music, but we're actually just some hippies. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Like we are like chameleons.
Now see, I'm going to pause this questioning for a second because I want to know, who came up with, and I'm going to use the word uniforms, but who came up with the stage uniforms?
So that kind of, that shifted, over time. So, we started out, you know, our first show, you know, we just kind of had the typical, you know, we're a metal band, you know, we're going to wear Slayer,
we're going to be
Anthrax shirts.
We're going to cover Slayer songs,
and basketball shorts and black Vans.
And we're black metal makeup.
And we're metal. And then, you know, it didn't really stick. So
yeah, like eventually you just kind of grow up and you're like, oh, I don't like this.
So we shifted into, you know, a different, thing, a uniform that we had for a while, which was, we had black jeans, black t-shirts, and then red suspenders.
Yeah.
And,
many people thought that we were either Amish, Nazis, or like some satanic weird group, extremists. Right, yeah.
We kind of liked it just because it was simplistic. You know, the four of us who weren't the vocalist, you know, we had the black t-shirts, red suspenders, black pants.
Yeah, and plus, like, we were the only band in, like, the whole area that had a uniform.
Yeah.
So we were trying to, like, be as noticeable as possible.
And eventually we kind of just latched on to black and red as our color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goalie equipment color scheme too. So it's a good pick.
Yeah, it's fiery. It's
yeah,
it's red.
And it's just, you know, it's good contrast. But then once we did away with the suspenders, and now we're at a point where we have denim vests, which we've, you know, adorned with red and various
designs. We ordered the vests, and then like we got some paint and decorated them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And did all that, like individual designs on all of them.
So our main goal was essentially to just have, you know, something that makes us stand out, but also not, you know, too flashy and distracting, you know, that would kind of draw away from, you know, what we're doing.
We don't want to be glam, but we want to be noticeable.
Okay, so back to the last question. something that fans would be surprised about. I can't remember which one of you answered it.
Oh yeah, well we were talking about, you know, like our influences and where we pull from, but then you mentioned you know, so you know, we have this big scary look, but we're all hippies, you know. We
Yeah.
I don't. So funny enough, I pause right here real quick. I live with our other guitarist, and he just got home from work. I don't know if you can, because my headphones, we only have the two, and it can't be split. Because it's my phone has that annoying like proprietary headphone jack or whatever. So sorry, my friend.
We can hear him though if he wants to say hello.
Yeah, he could come over here and say hi.
Hello, Kyle. Come introduce yourself.
Here, I'll give you the ear for a second.
Hello, how's it going?
Well, not too bad. Should I catch you up with all the hard questions they had to answer without you?
If you want, yeah.
So I had them tell an embarrassing moment about the other person. So here's your chance to tell me something that they did on stage that embarrassed you.
He has like an archive of embarrassing moments in his head.
I actually don't. Really? I can't think of it right now. I mean, what stands out to me, I don't know if this was mentioned, was back when we first started playing, when every show we'd play, your drum kit would like fall apart.
Yeah.
Like your kick drum would actually like just fly off every time. Other than that, I can't really think of anything right now.
Yeah, I talked about how
the Battlecross
show. Battlecross and Midnight.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Don't bring that back up.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right. We live and we learn. That was a different band. Those were different people.
That was Primal Scream Therapy, not Human Delusion.
I'm not going to force you to answer all of the backlog ones, but I will ask you this one. If you could travel back in time and observe one band for a full year, who would you observe and why?
Observe meaning like?
Like hang out with and see what happened during that year that might affect you as a musician.
It's funny. I said Avatar, he said Tool.
When they were writing Lateralis. I was going to ask you this once the interview was over, so it's funny.
Man, those are both like the answers I was going to give. Your Avatar or Tool.
Hell yeah.
Is there a third band?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
That's funny.
Y'all have the same answers as me.
I'll give you a different question then. Which Human Delusion song should survive the apocalypse and help in the repopulation of the Earth? He's like, man, I should have just left.
I'd say Giants, just because it's about
That's what he said.
It's about the environment and like how deforestation is like destroying the Earth. And
yeah, the song, it sounds like, by looking at the lyrics, it sounds like it's literally about killing like giants, like large humanoids. But it's actually about chopping down trees and deforestation.
We are hippies.
We are hippies, if we didn't say that earlier.
Well, you know, the song that you told me about was about how the media is ruining the world, and now you're talking about saving the ecosystem. So I think you might be right.
Yeah.
About 40 to 50 years too late.
Really? Yeah. It's okay. We'll just restart it.
Yeah.
Even I really wasn't alive during that period. We already established I'm twice your age. So I do have two more questions for you. I promise these ones are much easier.
Okay, sure.
Okay. The first one is, where can my listeners get a copy of your music?
Well, if you message our Facebook page, we can just take the payment over PayPal and just ship it out to you. If you're looking for a physical copy, and then if you're looking for digital copies, it's streaming on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. It's on like every major music platform you can find on the internet nowadays.
Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And Bandcamp.
And the next one is, do you guys have any upcoming shows that you would like to mention so that people can get out and see you?
Yeah, we actually have our first Pittsburgh show. Later this month on April 24th, we're playing at Howlers. Yeah. After that, we have a show on my birthday, actually, April 27th at Basement Transmissions here in Erie. I can't think of any.
Then we have two more lined up in May, both in Erie, the 18th and 25th. Both again here in area at Basement Church.
24th, actually, not 25th.
Oh, 24th. Okay.
Yeah,
there 24th. It is.
So I have I have a holler story, but I'll tell it to you off the air.
All right.
Okay. We also have we're playing a music festival out in Buffalo, I believe, on August 3rd.
Oh,
yeah. Right, yeah. The Viking.
Daytona's Revenge.
Something like
the
that.
The Viking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, you know, we'll definitely have more, you know, lined up as summer dates, you know, people start planning events and stuff. So, you know, if you keep an eye on our Facebook and Instagram, social media, you know, we'll keep you posted there.
So this has been episode number 457 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show with three members of the band Human Delusion. If you're just listening to the second half, at the beginning there were only two. You'll figure it out later. Next week on the Pennsylvania Rock Show is Foo Bar. The following week will be Wretched Hive, April 19th. April 26th is Feast on the Fallen. And coincidentally, they are being played on this week's show. Up next, actually, right after this, you're going to hear Feast on the Fallen and Traverse the Abyss. And then the other date that I have scheduled is Liveberg Studio. Don't forget to check us out each and every week on PARockShow.com. And don't forget to check out DankoRadio.ca, which is our new but old station that we've been added to. And, of course, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. RootoRootRadio.com out in California. MegaRockRadio.net, also in St. Louis. BuildingScene.com in Pennsylvania. And I'm sure I forgot something. But we will see you next week. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
my mind one more time. Running in circles, it's always replaying in my mind one more time. Running in circles, it's always replaying.